Let's turn your Bibles, please, to Psalm 30, Book of Psalms 30. Let's hear the word of God together. A psalm and a song and a dedication of the house of David. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks in remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favour, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide my face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Amen. So reads God's most precious word. See here the beginning of his psalm. It's the title of a psalm and song of a dedication of the house of David. Many modern translations would translate that word there, the temple of David. In David's case, it would have been the tabernacle. Some think it would have been David's own house. But I'm inclined to with those who believe it's the house of God, where David and the people offered their sacrifices. We need to have this chapter in context, and that's why we read in 2 Samuel 24, because it's a time where David is at ease in so many senses. In verse 6 he said, in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. He came to that point where he was confident in himself and what he had achieved, and he sends out his captain Joab to number the people. And God is not pleased with that census. And Joab tries to persuade the king not to do this. But in verse 4 of 2 Samuel 24 we read, notwithstanding the king's word prevailed against Joab. And they went forth and they numbered the people. And God was angry with David. And David knew that he had sinned. Verse 10, and David's heart smote him after he numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now, I beseech you, Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Number the people against God's commandments. And the Lord God gives him three options. And David is to make a choice. And he said, so Gad, I like Gad, he's a man who's not fearful, is he? He's going to the king with this message. You've got three choices of judgment upon the nation and upon yourself. Gad goes to the king. We don't see him going in fear and trembling, do we? He's a man of faith. He's a man who carries forth with the word of God. And he delivers the message that God had sent to David. And David says, I'm in a great strait. Don't know what to do. Lest I fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Let me not fall into the hand of man.
verse 15. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan unto Beersheba 70,000 men. And the angel of the Lord went forth even to destroy Jerusalem. And God says in verse 16, it is enough, stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Uriah the Jebite. And then David purchased this threshing floor, and he makes a sacrifice to God. And it's at this point where David erects that place, the house of God. Where the plague was stopped was the place that David offered sacrifice and worshipped God. For he knew that God, in his tender mercies, would be merciful to him and to his people. He feared falling into the hands of men. He feared to fall in the hands of those who would pursue him and show no mercy. And yet he trusts in God's mercy that he would stay his hand. And Psalm 30, David recollects, he remembers that time when God came in judgment upon him and upon the people. That's a context, I believe, of Psalm 30. But there's also a context within the book of Psalms as well. For those of you who've been coming to the prayer and Bible study on Thursday, we consider Psalm 29 in our last study when I was with you. And Psalm 29 there speaks of the glory of God. David declares to the people, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, that's the angels, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then he describes this tremendous thunderstorm. The voice of the Lord thundereth. It comes from Lebanon. He goes right down to the desert, to Kadesh. And this mighty storm is raging across the land of Israel. And it is so mighty that the wild beasts who are carrying the young give birth prematurely. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. There's this tremendous movement in this Psalm 29 as this storm sweeps down. And also the response of the people. At the end of it, in his temple, in the tabernacle, everyone cries, glory! It's been so awe-inspiring. I suggested to you on that Thursday evening that we can be in a storm. We can be in a storm of nature, yes, but there are storms in our hearts, in our lives, in our families. We're perplexed by the way that God deals with us in so many ways. I don't think it's a coincidence that Psalm 30 follows Psalm 29, because David is going through this tremendous storm personally. As he's numbered the people, and he's seen God's judgment, thousands of men slaughtered by the angel of the Lord. And what's David's response to all this? Psalm 30, verses 1 to 6, his response is praise. 7 to 10 is confession of his sin, and to the end, praise again. They're wonderful. David has seen God's dealings with him. He confesses his sin, and God restores him graciously. And Psalm 30, verse 1, this is his declaration: I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. I will extol thee. No matter what anybody else will do or say about God, no matter what they say about there is no God, no matter the way he deals with his people, David's heart is set upon extolling God. I will extol thee. I will magnify. I will raise thee up in my thoughts. Dear friends, this is what God calls us to do. And we come to worship. We're to extol our God and his mighty works of salvation. I will extol thee. No man, no woman, but only God. For he is worthy. I will extol thee. Do you extol him? Do you raise him up in your thoughts and in your life? At the beginning of a day, do you turn to him? Do you come to him in praise and worship? Do you sing of his glory and of his might and of his majesty? David's heart was set. I will extol thee. We have so many things that we should extol God for. So many good things. Look at our nation. Yes, we look at it and it seems to be a mess, but we're at peace. We're not at war. Nations around the world are in turmoil. Death, famine, disease, war. We are at peace. We should thank God for that daily. Look at your families. Blessed with family, loved ones who care for you. Look at your health. God has been good, and we should extol him. Think of the very air you breathe, the ground you walk on. They're all a gift from God. Everything we have, your homes, your cars, your vehicles, your education, your employment, it's all a gift of God. We undeserving people, and his grace and favour, he has abundantly blessed us with so many good things. We should extol him for that. But David here exhorts us to extol him for salvation. Restoration. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Why should I extol God? For thou hast lifted me up. And the picture here, all the commentators make this point. And at this point here, David perceives himself in this deep shaft, in the ground, in a well. And God has raised him up out of that. That pit of despond. That place of death. And he says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. It's personal, isn't it? Can each one of us say here this morning that he has lifted me up? I look around and the majority of you can say that. Hence we should extol him. We should sing his praise. We should glory in him. Has not made my foes to rejoice over me. And David was surrounded by so many foes who oppressed him on every hand. O Lord, my God. Verse 2. See the progression there. I will extol thee, O Lord, Adonai, Yahweh, O Lord, my Elohim, my God, my God. Isn't that a wonder that sinful men and women can extol the Almighty God? We can raise him up, the one who's high and lifted, in our feeble praise, with our feeble lips and our feeble tongues, and we can declare him to be, O Lord, my God. That's grace. That is mercy. That's God's favour towards us, his people. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, for thou hast healed me. Who else can we cry to? David underscores this point so many times in the study we've considered so far. I cried unto thee. So who else can we cry but unto the Lord? He's the one who hears. He's the one who has the power to help. He's the one who has the strength to sustain us through days of trouble, days of bereavement, days of sickness. It is he. I cried unto thee. His first port of call was God himself. Not the pastor, not the elders, not a good friend, but to the Lord. And again, I would encourage you to flee to him, to that rock, that place of safety. I cried unto thee. It's not a whimper. It's a heartfelt cry unto God. I cried unto thee. And thou hast healed me. Thou hast restored me. It's a God who hears the cries of his people. When we're sick, we go to the doctor. We call that a miracle. That's not a miracle, that's science. That's pure science. And we go to a doctor, we go to a doctor expecting to be helped, but also we go to the Lord, that the Lord will heal us, that he'll give us his healing power. He'll do that. We've seen that so many times in our own lives and in the lives of others. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, for thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. This is David's praise, what God has done for him. O Lord, thou hast brought me up. Brought me up. My soul from the grave has kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. And what's David's response? In a sense, those three verses there have been a solo. Now he calls upon the congregation of God's people. Verse 4. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at remembrance of his holiness. Sing unto the Lord. Philip Evesen, in his commentary on Psalm 30, he says, what do you see is the purpose of your life? What is the purpose of your life? To make yourself comfortable and rich, or to praise and glory in God? For David, the purpose in his life was to sing unto the Lord. People tell me some of you have got very good voices. I don't hear them. We are to sing unto the Lord. We are to raise our voices in praise. We are not to be, as he says later on, silent there in verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. Why are we silent in our praise of God? Why don't we raise the roof of this building? Why don't we proclaim to the world around us that we know God, he's done great things for us, hence we sing unto the Lord. We declare his glory in our song. Sing unto the Lord. There's no greater thing than the human tongue, the human lips can declare the glory of our God. Sing unto the Lord. Let's not be shy. Let's sing. I know some of us sing very loud, and some of us think we can hide behind that. But God says, no, we are to sing unto the Lord. Who is to sing unto the Lord? O ye saints. That's you, brother and sister in Christ. O ye saints of his. Not saints of the Roman Catholic Church, not saints of the Church of England, but saints of God, the separated ones. You are separated to praise and to worship Almighty God. We are separated to sing the songs of Zion. Sing the songs of Zion. Dear friends, when was the last time you rose in the morning and sang the song of Zion? Was it your first thing you did this morning to give thanks to Almighty God for his great love and favour? Let's not be shy in our singing. Let's not be reserved. Let us sing unto the Lord. O ye saints of his. We are his. We are separated. We are saints separated unto him and to his glory and to his praise. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at remembrance of his holiness. And dear John MacDonald last week was telling us of his 10 lepers. One returned thanks, 9 didn't. Are we a thankful people? I trust we are a thankful people. Let's show it in our praise and in our worship to our God. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks. Give thanks. Are we a thankful people? Are you thankful for one another? Are you thankful for this place? Are you thankful for God's grace, love and mercy to you? David was thankful, for he was depressed. He was downcast. God had raised him up, and he gives thanks. And he encourages each and every one of us to sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at remembrance of his holiness. We remember all the great things he has done for us in past days. Great deliverances. Great acts of mercy. We have to remember these things. The children of Israel were to set up stones of remembrance. We have a table set before us, a table of remembrance. And we give thanks to Almighty God for what his Son has done on Calvary's cross for his people. We give thanks for the blood of Christ and his broken body. Oh, we are to give thanks. That remembrance of his holiness. Of his holiness. Verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. His anger endureth but a moment. The Hebrew word there for moment means in the wink of an eye. In the wink of an eye. Those days of adversity, in the sight of God, in the sight of eternity, is just a wink of an eye. Just a brief spell. And he uses those times of adversity to draw us away from this old world, to draw us away from the flesh, to draw us away from the devil. And notice this. Weeping may endure for a night. It's just a passing traveller, so to speak. But joy cometh in the morning. And we've all experienced that, haven't we? Times of sadness, times of heartbreak. But joy always comes in the morning. That's God's grace and favour to us. That's God's mercy and love to his people. When David confesses his sin, verse 6, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. But he was moved. And there's a sense here of danger, isn't there? His enemies were defeated around him. He felt at ease. He felt comfortable. And in his prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. And it's a day when you declare that, it's a day when you are moved. And David numbers the people. And God's judgment severely comes upon them. Spurgeon, in October 19th, 1856, in Surrey Gardens, was preaching. There was 12,000 people in the congregation, 10,000 people outside, crowds of people never been seen in London since the days of George Whitefield. And some malicious person shouted out, fire, fire! And there was a stampede in Surrey Gardens there. And 7 people were dead. They died in the stampede as people sought their own safety. 28 people were wounded. David saw the slaughter of thousands of men. It took 2 weeks for Spurgeon to get over that event. Every time he looked at his Bible, he wept. He couldn't even look upon a Bible. It broke his heart. He became a depressed man. And David here says, in my prosperity, I said I shall never be moved. And God comes with that judgment upon him, upon the people. And he becomes a man who's depressed and broken. And yet God restores him, raises him up in his goodness and mercy. Verse 7, he says, Lord, by thy favour thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. In a sense, that is true. Lord, by thy favour, by pleasure, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. In a sense, there's this conflict between David and his faults. He knows what God has done for him. But also in verse 7, he's troubled about this, hide thy face. And I was troubled. That word troubled there means he was perplexed. He couldn't understand why had God forsaken him. And again, we are like that, aren't we? Faith is mixed up with our own thoughts and our own desires. Lord, by thy favour, thou hast made my mountain to stand. There are times when we're perplexed, when God turns his face away from us. God hid his face from David. But we have those days. Some of you are going through those days right now when it appears that God has hidden his face. And we're troubled. And this is David's remedy. Verse 8. I cried to thee, O Lord. Again he says, I cried. Not a whimper, but it's a cry of passion. It's a cry of one prostrating himself before Almighty God upon his face upon the ground. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. He comes with fear and with reverence. He comes with respect to Almighty God. He doesn't come to God demanding. He comes pleading unto the Lord. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. Again, that simple lesson. Flee unto him for all our needs. Then David begins to reason with God. Do you reason with God in your prayer? Verse 9. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? He's saying to the Lord, really, is, if I'm taken from this world, there's one less voice to praise my God. That's the reason he has at this point here. Do we reason with God in prayer? Our prayers are small. We need to have a bigger view, a bigger concept of God. We need big prayers, godly prayers. Reason with God. Not demanding, but with humility. There's a fine balance. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? I don't know if you're stretching the point, but when I read this psalm, we see Christ here, surely. I extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. There he was upon Calvary's cross, suffering for the sins of his people. His foes did rejoice at his demise, but God on the third day rose him up. And all intermingled in this psalm is the cries of our Lord Jesus. And verse 9 here just spoke to me. It says, what profit is there in my blood? When we think of the blood of Christ, what great profit there is in that blood. The cleansing of our sin, the forgiveness of our iniquities. That blood cleanses the foulest of their sin. The rebel, the murderer, the thief, the adulterer. That blood cleanses. It's powerful. It's almighty blood. There's great profit in the blood of Christ. What profit is there in my blood? Profit of the saints, his people purchased. The people set aside before the foundation of the world. In the courts of eternity, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit made that covenant that he would come and shed his blood for his people. There is great profit in his blood. We should think more of these things. What profit is there in my blood? This is a prayer we can all pray in verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Is there one here today who does not know Christ? This is your prayer. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. This is the prayer of the publican there in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. He smote his breast and he cried unto God, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, make an atonement for me, was his cry. And again, David is reminding us of that great atonement. Then Psalm 28, verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift my hands toward thy holy oracle. That place, that secret place where the blood was shed but once a year. Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, the secret place, that inner chamber where that atonement blood was shed. He is the one we are to flee to. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon me. That's the cry of a penitent sinner. And he will have mercy. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And dear friend, if you're not a believer this morning, I plead with you, cry for mercy. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Another prayer we can all pray. Be thou my helper through this day, through this coming week, through the trials, through the tribulations I need to go through. Be thou my helper. We have a sovereign protector. Isn't it a wonder? He watches over us. He cares for us. He's a sovereign protector of heaven and earth and even of his people. Thou, verse 11, has turned my mourning into dancing. Thou has put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. This is what God has done for David. Thou has turned my mourning, all those lives, all those souls which have perished because of my sin, he mourned, and now God has girded him with gladness. Notice this. David says, thou has put off my sackcloth. It's God who's taken this garment of sackcloth off of him. He's derobed him. And place, he's girded me with gladness. The hymn we're going to sing in a moment, 545. We read these words. Jesus, my blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. This spotless robe the same appears when ruined nature sinks in years. No age can change its glorious hue. The robe of Christ is ever new. O let the dead now hear thy voice. Now bid thy banished ones rejoice. Their beauty this, their glorious dress. Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. Is that your prayer? Can you declare that with confidence? Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. This was David's song. The Lord girded him with his robe of righteousness, and he was glad, and he danced. Now, we're Reformed people, and we don't dance. But he danced in his heart, he danced in his spirit. He danced and he made joy unto Almighty God. He was full of praise. And verse 12, to the end, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. This is the end. This is my end. This is my purpose in life. What's the chief end of man? What are we to do? What's our purpose? To glorify God. And to enjoy him forever. That's why we are created in his image. To this end, my glory. My glory? David had kingly glory. He had pomp. He had robes. And all that he had, all his wealth, all his being, every part of his faculty was to declare God's glory. And that's what he would encourage us to do. To the end, that my glory. I look at you. You look at me. We don't have much glory, do we? We're just simple people here at Gordon Road on Lord's Day morning. We don't have much glory, but we do. All that we have, we are to use for his glory and to his praise. All that we have, my intellect, my will, my emotion, is to declare glory unto God. He bids you, he bids me to praise God. Psalm 29, he bids the angels, give unto the Lord, ye mighty one, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And he bids us, sing unto the Lord, ye saints of his, and give thanks at remembrance. His praise is not enough. He calls upon the angels, and he calls upon the saints to join him in the worship of Almighty God. To the end, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. And the word there, silent in the Hebrew, is to be dumb. To be dumb. What an awful thing it is to be dumb, not yet speak, to communicate. That's difficult, isn't it? We've seen that with our dear sister. And not be silent. We have no reason to be silent. We have everything to give thanks unto the Lord. And again, David finishes, O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. He has a determination. I will extol thee in verse 1. Now, at the end of verse 12, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And that word there ever means for stretched out eternity. If you are a saint this morning, we are called to give glory to him. It's just a foretaste of heaven. We meet together as the people of God. I love to be with you. I love to be with you as we worship our God. What a privilege. And you know, it's just a foretaste. We are sinful. We're fallen creatures. There's a day coming where we'll worship the Lamb of God upon the throne. Amen. And we will fall before him, cast our crowns before him in perfection. And I pray that each and every one of us will be there in the glory. And we'll be with him forever, singing his eternal praises. Why? For he is worthy. The Lamb of God who came into the world to save sinful people. That is something to give praise for. Our great salvation through our great Saviour. May the Lord bless those thoughts to us this morning, to his praise and to his glory. And we will sing in 545. Jesus, my blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Let's sing this to the praise of our God in 545.